Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for November 29th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Good to have you here. Welcome aboard. Mm-hmm. So, D.R., there has been a story boiling now off your TV screen. But the whole question of the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Standing Rock Reservation out in the Dakotas. It's been quite. I'm sure you've seen some of the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What little is shown on American broadcast and cable television?
So just to set the stage, so that we're all on the same page, the Dakota Access Pipeline is a pipeline that is intended to carry the output of the Bakken Shale, which is up in North Dakota and Montana, I guess, someplace even farther north and west, carry it down past Chicago to near the Mississippi River. It's a pipeline that's going to carry this, junky fuel that's from fracking and all the bad stuff in it. The pipeline was originally scheduled to go, let me carefully say this, north of Bismarck, North Dakota, which, of course, is the capital where all the white people live. And they objected to because they thought that there might be an oil spill and the water coming into Bismarck would be poisoned. So the government decided to reroute the pipeline south of Bismarck and, in fact, routed within 1/2 mile of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and across the Missouri River at that point. And so now since last April, there has been an encampment, I guess, on Corps of Engineer property, which is claimed, the Indians say, is their own land, but right there, and there has been an ongoing conflict or tension between the quote-unquote authorities and the Standing Rock Sioux, who have been augmented by tribes from across the nation and people, perhaps more people than they know what to do with out there, and perhaps a few idiots who think that this is the Burning Man Festival and they go smoke dope and, you know, have a great old time out in the plains. But anyway, put that aside, the Standing Rock Sioux are opposed by an increasingly militarized police department. And when you look, you see these guys have all kinds of high-tech weapons, right? They have manned personnel vehicles. They've got sound cannons. They've got water cannons, all kinds of stuff. And there you are. You have this escalating tension between what, by all accounts, has been a peaceful protest with people putting their bodies on the line in a peaceful way, to stop this pipeline. So, DR, let me put the ball in your court. I turned on my my internet tubes last Sunday, a week ago Sunday now, and what I saw was this horrible live video on Facebook of the people at Standing Rock getting blasted by water cannons and stuff. Can you? I mean, what happened there? Can you explain what the, you know, what's the sort of the what were the events there?
Yes, the law enforcement officials basically standing up against the protesters blasted them with water cannons in below freezing temperatures, basically, you know, putting a risk of severe, you know, hypothermia and health issues. One protester named Sophia Wolanski was reportedly hit by a concussion grenade and has all but lost the use of her arm. She's facing multiple surgeries, and you just see these images. I mean, the sort of the militarized forces, as you put it, they look like something out of the movie Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, is this, you know, what's the old David Bowie song? This is not America.
Yeah, I
when
mean,
you just see these people, you know, again, you know, basically arming themselves to the teeth to go after people who are just exercising their First Amendment rights, their constitutional rights. It makes no sense at all.
Right. I mean, the video I saw, the events that I think that I saw were that so there's a bridge somewhere, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a bridge across the river or a bridge that's relevant. Somehow the Corps of Engineers or the military, the police have left burned out vehicles on the bridge mm-hmm. to prevent passage. And mm-hmm. so the tribal authorities were trying to cross that bridge to move those burned up vehicles and get them out of the way so they could use the bridge, I guess. And when the people ended up being caught on the bridge on both sides by these people with water cannons, and they were just, they blasted them for hours there.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad.
So it's beyond sad. Mm-hmm. And of course, this young woman who I think hails from Boston, right? She was most recently at the up in West Roxbury.
I think she's from New York, but she was a part of the West Roxbury pipeline protests.
Right, and again, I mean, there's so much that's come out. So I don't want to pretend I can capture all the references, but somehow the guys knew that they were throwing a stun grenade at the young woman, and were just as happy about the whole thing. And the Morris County sheriff, I guess, after the fact, said that they were using the water cannons to put out fires being set by the... And you look at the video, and they're just blasting the people. I mean, just a flat-out... I mean, in the age of Trump, right, there's no truth, even if you have video evidence to the contrary. It's... I don't know.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Yes, your lying eyes. So there's this horrible thing that happened a week ago, and, I mean, the horror of it, I mean, you can barely do it justice, but the idea that these heavily militarized guys are going after and going to take out the Native American people who are trying to defend their water is, I mean, we've touched on this before, but it is so iconic and so representative of what amounts to the American genocide, right? We're going to do it all. And DR, you and I are going to sit here and watch it on YouTube? And say, really? Mm-hmm. They're going to do that in front of everybody? Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward. Recently, since a week ago Sunday, and I think, in fact, the day after Thanksgiving, right, which would have been last Friday, the Corps of Engineers made another announcement, right? And so can you tell me what that announcement is about?
Yes, they're planning to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is planning to forcibly remove those who are at the Ossetee Sokoan camp, claiming that they're basically on U.S. Army Corps of Engineers land, even though the protesters are saying that this is actually land that was given to the Lakota tribe as part of a treaty in the 1850s. So they're basically saying that they're going to be forcibly moved out by... They're saying that it's not going to be forcible, but they're basically going to be, shall we say, encouraged to leave by December the 5th. But you know and I know that they're going to be forcibly removed. And unfortunately, you know, if past this prologue, it's going to be violent and it's going to be bloody and it could be potentially tragic too.
And there's a lot of people there that are dug in at this point, right? There's I'm not sure how big the camp is. I don't want to put a number on it, but it's not just, you know, 10 hippies out on a hill. I mean, there's a lot of people there and there's a considerable amount of infrastructure and it is on land that is, I mean, who owns it? Right, in quotation marks, even if you can own a piece of land. But the whole idea that the federal government is going to roll these people off on December 5th, and not only that, it's for their own safety, right? Because the winter is going to be so cold, they have to protect them from themselves. It's sort of Orwellian, I would think. So there you go. I mean, there's this ongoing tragedy. This ongoing thing happening that involves militarized police, essentially the cavalry, if you know what I mean, Indians trying to defend their shrinking rights. There's a whole context, there's a whole global warming context behind it. We don't even touch it, you know, because, I mean, this is just more fossil fuel infrastructure that should not be built, right? So in addition to the... in addition to the violation of sort of Native American rights here, there's also this whole global warming context of the thing. And it's playing out in real time, and it's not getting on TV very much. Right? Mm-hmm. Have you seen much on TV?
Not a lot, and there's a great article by a lady by the name of Meredith Clark writing for Pointer.org, in which she notes that one of the reasons why it's not getting a lot of coverage is that because Native Americans are regarded by news executives as being such a small portion of the United States population, it's basically regarded as something that's not worth covering. My theory remains that the reason why American broadcast and cable entities aren't covering this is they're afraid of getting criticism from people who regard the story as just being so much political correctness, and they're not willing to stand up against those folks. And some of the coverage has been particularly lousy in terms of the news coverage. In terms of the newspaper coverage, we've mentioned, I think you had mentioned previously, a particularly grotesque piece in the Boston Globe that was run, I believe, on November the 28th, in which it basically depicted the protest camp as some sort of, you know, squalid backwater in which, you know, filth is running rampant, basically. Just one of the most sleazy characterizations you can imagine. And it's just, you know, were it not for social media, there'd be virtually no decent coverage of this issue. I mean, could you imagine if this had occurred 15 years ago, before the advent of Twitter and Facebook? I mean, it'd be getting the most slanted and distorted coverage you could imagine.
I agree. I mean, it's the piece in the Globe, I think, is representative. I mean, to give the Globe a little, I don't know, maybe it out. I think they were trying to present a human interest story. But when you read it, it's basically you're halfway into the article saying, why are these crazy people living out in the cold with a dog crapping in the dirt floor kitchen? Mm-hmm. I mean, why are they bothering to do that? And you can't. Mm-hmm. You have to go a long way through the article to figure out what the stakes are. And even then, it's very confusing. Oh, they don't like a pipeline. Well, okay. Is that really the context you want to put this in?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. It's very little coverage. I know that Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC has tried to cover it.
Yes, Lawrence O'Donnell and Joy Reid of MSNBC, they've done tremendous work, just admirable work in terms of covering this. But again, you know, as great as Lawrence O'Donnell and Joy Reid are, there are so many people who are consciously staying away from this issue, presumably due to fear of being criticized by the people who have been brainwashed to believing that this is just a demonstration of political correctness.
Well, and I guess, you know, since the Corps of Engineers is a federal agency, and the guy, at least for the time being, who's at the top of that federal pyramid is a guy named Obama. It seems as if, especially since Obama seemed to be relatively sympathetic to the rights of the Native American nations here, that somehow he's allowing this December 5th deadline to stand instead of stepping in, because he knows this is, you know, fossil fuel infrastructure. He's by no means a stupid guy, so he must get the historical sort of reverberations of this thing that's happening, and he hasn't put the kibosh on it yet. I mean, why not?
That's a good point. Neil Young, the iconic singer Neil Young, has issued a call on Facebook urging President Obama to, quote, step in and end the violence against the peaceful water protectors at Standing Rock immediately, unquote. Yet there doesn't seem to be much of a response from the Obama administration. My sense is that Obama figures that if he does try to intervene and he does try to put a stop to this madness, the intervention will only last so long as he's in office. And as soon as Donald Trump takes over, it'll be back to business as abnormal, if you will. So I think it appears that Obama has decided that he doesn't want to involve himself in this, which is regrettable, to say the very, very least. It just appears that Obama seems to be, I guess, preoccupied with the transition of power, and is not paying attention to an abuse of power.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong, D.R. I mean, I think I'd be terribly disappointing to have him completely check out on this. And I mean, I think that he has the. So my understanding is that the president has, through the Corps of Engineers, and the federal land, can deny the easement that is required for these guys to build a pipeline on federal land. He can just deny it. And I hope, so we'll put up a link to the White House email contact and how to phone the president. I mean, I think that it's only public pressure that's going to make him change his mind. I think this is, we're coming right down to the wire. Come December 5th, it's going to be an ugly scene out there, and you're not going to be able to find out about it unless you get on some kind of social media.
Well, remember, it was public pressure that forced him to say no to the Keystone XL pipeline. So that same sort of public pressure might have to be brought to bear in this scenario.
So, DR, tell me, going forward, let's just take a bigger picture for a minute. You know, President-elect Caligula will take office in early January. I mean, the question is that if the media cannot today honestly cover the events at Standing Rock, what do we expect over the next 4 years, and where do people need to go to get their news, and how can they find reliable sources? I mean, I'd submit that independent, I mean, I don't want to put, you know, people like you and I too much in the, you know, at the fulcrum of history or anything here, but man, you can't believe anything now. It's almost like being in Soviet Russia, right? You get Pravda and you know, you try and dial in Radio America on your shortwave radio to find out what the heck's going on. Well, excuse me, just one other thing. I mean, I Googled Standing Rock the other day to find out what was going on. The first thing that came up was Russian TV.
Right? RT.
RT. They are covering it. And our own people won't. And it was, I mean, I know, God knows, Mr. Putin has got an agenda. But it seemed like a relatively straight-up article. And, I mean, why is our own media not covering this story?
Well,
I asked you a question, D.R. What's the future look like?
Well, I think this is a reprise of what went on during the George W. Bush administration, where if you wanted coverage of, you know, those who opposed the Iraq War, you had to go to independent media sources such as Democracy Now!, which, as we've noted before, is doing tremendous work in covering this issue. And it's going to be essentially independent, non-corporatized, non-commercialized media sources such as Democracy Now!, which will be the only ones that will try to get, you know, the truth out, because there's so much media that is either actively on the side of the energy transfer partners, the current company, exactly, or is just intimidated by those folks, that you need to have, you know, what remains of a press that is unbought and unbossed, to use the old Shirley Chisholm line. And there isn't that much press out there anymore, as we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, I will admit to being a bit perplexed by the whole thing, because the video, the live stream Facebook video that I saw was on something, a website called Unicorn Riot, right? And I would never in my right mind go there as a source of clear, but based on the name, would not go there for a news report. What I would, you know, but I mean, do you end up having to search for these less well-known places? You just mentioned pointer.org, right? I mean, I'm afraid all these things are just going to put cookies on my computer and follow me around forever, right? But on the other hand, if that's where the real information is, if that's the, what is it, the Samizdat from...
Yes, Samizdat.
Samizdat, right? If that's where you have to go to find out what's really going on, it's treacherous, but you mean that's where the information is, I think. I mean, who knows?
And there are going to be some more, you know, independent sources that spring up. Again, going back to the George W. Bush administration, we saw the proliferation of, you know, Daily Kos, and I think it was mydd.com, and other, you know, independent and alternative media sources. Obviously, we've mentioned before Brad Friedman's Brad Blog is another example. So there are going to be these sort of independent sources that rise up to do the job that the mainstream media won't. But it's just a matter of finding those sources and supporting those sources, because obviously it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be cheap to cover these sorts of stories.
That's a good point. I mean, I was thinking, given the new state of our politics, to revisit a topic you and I have talked about in the past of sort of the epistemological bubble, or, you know, the information bubble that you live in. But I think in this day and age, places like Think Progress, Climate, Inside Climate News, The Daily Climate, you know, Grist, The Guardian over in England, these people need your money in a way that they didn't before, right? If you believe in this stuff and you want it to keep coming, so on, I'm looking around trying to figure out which ones I want to give my money to. But I think And of course, everyone should give money to the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. I mean, that's the first place you should donate money. But after that, you should go to Think Progress or someplace else. Mm-hmm. Anyway, DR, I guess we got to leave it there. We're almost at 20 minutes already. We've gone on longer than our listeners' patience will allow. So let me just say this, DR. We'll put up links to most of what we tried to talk about. I mean, this ongoing horribleness out in the Dakotas. You can find that at massclimateaction.org/blog. Okay, please share the blog, spread the word. You're now living in a new information environment. You can, of course, can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can still find us until they shut us down on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, SoundCloud, all those places. And, of course, we're still on iTunes, which I'm sure will be based in China in the next 4 years. Anyway, DR, I'm getting too snarky. We'll close where we always close. The way we're now closing is that by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions. We accept responsibility for building a durable future, and we believe it's our patriotic duty to speak out. So we have to insist that Donald Trump not be normalized as the president of the United States, that we object and fight every step he takes, and that the United States eventually puts a price on carbon. Right, DR?
Yes.
So, DR, thank you very much for being here. Your insight and wisdom are always appreciated. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.